The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. Today, as our preacher, it is our privilege to have Emily Badgett, who grew up in this parish, is a junior at Sewanee University in Sewanee, Tennessee, has been a missioner in the Diocese of Haiti and this past summer in the Diocese of Zanzibar. Welcome back, Emily.
Good morning. You may be seated. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and for those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, we'll save it. This is a very dreary statement to hear from Jesus, especially after the weather we've been having. It reminds us of the impermanence of our lives, because death is an either option. These weeks in particular have been a reminder of the temporariness of our lives, in addition to Mark's gospel. A massive hurricane has already claimed the lives of 14 people across our state, and the anniversaries of the deaths of Jennifer Cobb and Carrie Russell are very present in some of our minds. But yet, Jesus believes this message is still extremely important for us to hear. It appears in all four Gospels. Not everything necessarily does, including Jesus' birth. That is only in two. So why is this melancholy message so important that it needs to be in all four Gospels, including today's? Jesus knew that Christianity would dominate in the future. The struggles that Jesus' followers expressed in the beginning would not always be the case with his future followers. Today, Christianity is the majority and ruling religion in most of the world, and especially our country. On a day-to-day basis, we're not reminded of some of these same struggles the disciples first faced. But their life was not easy. They faced adversity from all fronts when trying to build the Christian church. Today, I want to share the story of a missionary who helped build the Anglican Church in Central Africa. And I got to learn a lot about when I was in Zanzibar this summer. His name is Edward Steer. Steer was originally a lawyer in England and lived a very comfortable life. But in 1854, he quit his practice, sold his books, and used the funds from his books to feed the poor. He then committed his life to helping the poor in England. Steer eventually became ordained, and the first church he became rector at was a tiny parish in Little Steeping, England. When I say tiny, I mean there was 300 people in the whole town. The church was literally falling apart. There was no place for him to live, and he had to build his own house. He then had to renovate the church and the schoolhouse that he both was now in charge of. When he began working in Little, there was 18 students coming on a semi-regular basis. Steer got attendance up to 60 students year-round, and even 24 in the rough English winter. He did all of this in roughly 2 years. Then, one of his friends asked him to join the university's mission to Central Africa. Mind you, his friend, Bishop Tozer, was asking him to join, fully knowing that the last group died before they were even able to build a mission. It was not a heroic or quick or painless death. They died of malaria, slowly and agonizingly. But Steer said yes, leaving his wife and little parish behind. Steer and Tozer ventured off into Central Africa in April of 1863. They decided to take the same river through Central Africa as their predecessors. Multiple times, severe storms almost caused them to drown. After 3 months of going up the river, they had to transition into 4 canoes, leaving 2/3 of their supplies behind because they could no longer take their ship. But only to find the chosen spot for their mission could not sustain them. So they turned around and went to Zanzibar. At the time, Zanzibar was the largest trading post between India and Europe. Zanzibar was the right option because they had the support of the British government and the Sultan. They also had an abundance of resources coming in and out of the port, and there was an already established town on the island. For 6 years, Steer stayed in Zanzibar, away from his wife and home. Eventually, Bishop Tozer resigned and went back to England. Edward Steer stayed on the island and waited for the next bishop to come. Then, the unthinkable happened, and a cyclone came and destroyed Zanzibar, and all of the priests on the island were killed except for Steer. But he did not let that stop him. After the hurricane, he served communion and reminded his flock of their mission. He soon became bishop and started doing amazing work. In 1874, Steer returned to England because he had a new message to share. He spoke at Oxford on the imperative the Anglican Church could not allow the slave trade to continue. He said, "But what the state will not, the church must do." And when Steer returned to Zanzibar, he helped negotiate the closing of the last open slave market, which was on the island. He then decided to find a way to buy the old slave market grounds and headquarter the mission there. He did all of this while regularly being overcome by fevers. And today, Christ Church Cathedral sits on top of the old slave market grounds. The whipping post is marked with a stone right in front of the altar as a reminder of their mission. Like many others, the university's mission to Central Africa, Steer gave his life to spread the gospel, and Steer knew from the beginning that he would. Now, I'm going to go bring you back to our continent, the same point in history. And if you think about those dates, 1854, 1863, 1875, I know we can vaguely remember that America was not doing the same thing that our siblings across the ocean were doing. The Anglican Church in Africa was fighting to end the slave trade, where America, and especially the South, were doing the exact opposite. But our gospel today is paired with James. And James reminds us, for all of us make many mistakes. We are not perfect. James reiterates that. What Jesus wants us to know is that we're going to make mistakes. It's about how we learn from those mistakes that matter. The work that All Saints is doing is what Jesus wants us to do. The United Thank Offering grant of over $30,000 for racial reconciliation is the work Jesus wants us to do. I can list off every single program in this church, their tour to saints, the book study on race, to name a few. All are incredible ways to follow the light of Christ. But I'm sure Reagan and Susan will, and the rest of the Tour de Saints team will tell you that running the Tour de Saints is not an easy task. Chuck and Nancy will say the work with racial reconciliation is not simple. But Jesus in Mark says it's not meant to be easy. Paraphrasing a bit, but Mark would say, there's no highway to hell, but there's a highway to hell, but not one to heaven. I will end with where the gospel began. Jesus asked, who do the people say that I am? The disciples listed all the rumors they had heard, but then Jesus responded, who do you say that I am? Peter responded, you are the Messiah. Then Jesus, shockingly, says, don't tell anyone. But we who have read all the way through the Gospel of Mark know that Jesus will later say, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. So why does Jesus tell Peter not to tell anyone? I think calling Jesus just the Messiah limits him. We, as utter human beings, cannot fathom the immense power of our God. We have to be bold, brave, and imaginative. Edward Steer could have stayed at his little parish in Little Steeping in England. He could have lived a simple and quiet life in a small town. Steer could have even been a lawyer and had a more than comfortable life. But instead, he chose to leave it all behind. He chose to go to Africa where he knew he could easily die on day one. But he dared to be bold. He translated the gospel into Swahili and many other dialects so people could read it for themselves in their own language. He didn't have to do that. But he did. All Saints does not have to do a blood drive, a 100K bike race, a book study, a rally day, a work day, a parishioner's concert, a hurricane bucket drive, and many more programs, but we do. And we love doing it. And mind you, all of those things I just listed happened in the past month. So I know that it cannot be easy, and I know that we have struggled to get all of this done, but look at where we are today. Our God is more than just a Messiah. I beg you to answer the question of who do you say Jesus is? Not necessarily with your words, but with your actions. Amen.